Let's stay with Mercosur and bring in Cammie Naitoo here to do the business for us. Cammie, great to see you as always. The images of French farmers across the Champs-Élysées at the Arc de Triomphe, blocking everything. It's not just happening in Paris. It's been a scene that's been repeated around the country. Tell us more.
Well, big votes taking place tomorrow. We know that on Mercosur. There have been some concessions from the EU, but it doesn't seem to have quelled the anger of French farmers or convinced the French government for that matter. It's very likely that the deal will go ahead anyway, with Italy now seemingly on board alongside Germany, the Netherlands, Spain and the Scandinavian countries. If confirmed on Friday, that will end Paris's last hopes of forming a blocking minority with Poland, Hungary and Austria. And the deal could be signed as soon as next Monday, when European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen flies to Paraguay. So let's take a look at the concessions that have been made so far and what the agreement now looks like with Luc Schreger.
It would be the biggest trade deal in European history. But farmers' anger has threatened to derail an agreement with South American trade bloc Mercosur for months. Brussels has sought since last year to find common ground, most recently unveiling new concessions this week. They might just have brought a previously sceptical Italy on side, giving those behind the deal the majority they need to get it through.
We will propose to temporarily suspend the remaining most favoured nation, MFN, tariffs on ammonia, urea, and where necessary, other fertilisers.
Fertilisers are currently 60% more expensive than in 2020. Against a backdrop of rising production costs for farmers across the European Union, bringing prices down is a must. Concerns over unfair competition have also endured. Farmers fear cheaper produce from South America undercutting prices, leading to Brussels proposing more stringent mechanisms designed to prevent market destabilisation, with temporary customs levies coming back in. Specifically, if prices for certain sensitive imports like beef, chicken, rice or sugar already under quota fall by more than 8%, or if volumes rise by the same amount. The European Commission has also banned the use of 3 pesticides in imported products, after agricultural heavyweight France went further with 5.
I believe it's very important to emphasise how sensitive farmers are to the principle of reciprocity in production standards. And nothing can justify that substances deemed dangerous and therefore banned in the European Union could be tolerated in imported foodstuffs.
Elsewhere, farmers will get another incentive. €45 billion from the EU's Common Agricultural Policy Budget for 2028 to 2034, which will be released ahead of schedule.
Moving on now, HSBC has agreed to pay nearly €268 million to the French Treasury to settle up a case over fraud on dividend tax payments. The case is part of a wide-ranging investigation into fraudulent practices involving several major European banks, including Crédit Agricole, BNP Paribas and Société Générale. The fraud in question involved investors selling shares to other parties just before dividend payouts to avoid taxes and then quickly buying back the same shares. Both parties then shared the illicit gains, and prosecutors were looking into the bank's roles as intermediaries in the scheme, even charging commissions for facilitating those illegal trades. The million-euro deal with French financial prosecutors sees HSBC avoid further prosecution. Now, US President Donald Trump says he's tackling the country's housing crisis. He says he's backing a plan to ban corporate investors from buying single-family homes in the US. Since the 2008 financial crisis, investment firms like Blackstone have become major landlords in a number of American housing markets. Trump suggested the companies are putting the American dream out of reach for young Americans. Brian Quinn explains.
An eviction notice for Wall Street. Donald Trump wants institutional investors out of the U.S. house rental market, calling for a ban on equity firms from buying single-family homes.
That American dream is increasingly out of reach for far too many people, especially younger Americans. People live in homes, not corporations.
Trump is facing mounting disapproval in opinion polls over his handling of what has become known as America's affordability crisis, with midterm congressional elections looming in the fall. And housing is one of the top factors in the rising cost of living. As of 2022, a record 12.1 million renter households were spending more than half their incomes on housing. Since 2020, the average rent on a single-family home has shot up nearly 43%, more than twice as fast as the median income. But large institutional investors, those owning more than 1,000 units across several locations, are estimated to account for less than 5% of the single-family rental market. For many experts, the main culprit in the U.S. housing market is a supply shortage. The 2008 financial crisis saw new construction hit a multi-decade low from which it has still not recovered. Meanwhile, Trump's tariffs and his harsh immigration crackdown have increased costs for both materials and labor. In any case, if a concrete ban on corporate home buying that could actually threaten the interests of top equity firms does emerge, it will likely face significant pushback from Wall Street and its allies in Congress.
Hundreds of UK pubs banned Labour MPs from their premises a few weeks ago to protest a rise in business rates. The pressure seems to be working. The BBC reporting the government is now set to announce a climb down on those increases. Business rates are a type of tax paid by businesses and property owners in the UK on non-residential properties. And officials are expected to adjust how those business rates are calculated, meaning smaller bill hikes for pubs. The Treasury may also ease licensing rules, allowing longer opening hours and more pavement space. It follows vehement criticism of the expected rate changes and a push for broader support for a struggling sector. Let's hear from some pub owners.
As a pub destroyer, you know, pubs cannot survive these kind of increases. Your profit margins are wiped out. You know, we struggle as it is. You can't have that kind of increase and expect businesses to succeed.
It's all back to front. You know, you think that it's really these bigger pub codes, these supermarkets that need to, you know, they need to be facing the increased rateable values. They need to be facing increased taxes. We can't handle that.
Withholding pints has been quite an effective negotiating tactic.
That report made me feel a little bit thirsty, I must say. I'm sure I've been to at least three other pubs featured in the images before we went to just for a soft drink, of course, Cammy, of course. Nothing more. No, nonsense. Nice pint of bitter. I'd love that right now. Cammy, thank you very much indeed. Cammy now back with more business before you've even noticed that she's gone. We take a very short break after that. More news. Stay with us.